Et Mon is running a PDX Contemporary Art Gallery. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. And now, after one announcement, will be Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th and Sunday, April 8th at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. Open to teens of age 14 to 18, the Peace Jam Conference will include several addresses by Dr. Shireen Abadi, the first woman ever to become a judge in Iran and the first Muslim woman to win the Peace Prize. There will also be service projects, workshops in leadership, civic engagement, peace building, and more. Again, that's the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th, and Sunday, April 8th, at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 27th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Sanctuary Solidarity at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm. Right away, right off the top, first a little bit of weather for today, occasional rain and highs around 46. For tonight, again, there is a chance of showers and lows, again, around, it says 61. I'm guessing that they probably mean 46. And for tomorrow, for Wednesday, there's again showers pending and a light northwest wind for tomorrow night. Overcast skies, lows around 42, and light winds. That's the weather for you right now. And we have a couple of Air Cascadia trigger warnings. You might hear the word trigger during the course of this program. Be assured, gentle listener, we are only referring to the Lone Ranger's horse named Trigger. And as I always say, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stranger or ranger, one of the above. And you also might hear the word Russia. You might be clued in if you hear the words porn star, stripper, centerfold. Any of those three would indicate you are about to hear the word Russia. Sorry about that. And that said, we have some headlines today, mostly the fact that the world has effectively isolated Vladimir Putin. Not Russia, but just Vladimir, who should not be confused with Russia, the nation, just as Donald Trump should not be confused with America, the nation. And that said, John Bolton should not be confused with anything resembling intelligent life on the planet. He is pretty, he's a pretty offensive offense, and there's very little that we can do to defend ourselves against the likes of John Bolton. He looks like the character actor that you least want to encounter in programs such as, you can easily cast him yourself. We have today, our guest is Eli Clifton. Yes, that's right. I kid you not, listeners. Eli Clifton and Jim Loeb just wrote a piece Trump's choice of Bolton satisfies his biggest donor, as well as a number of other vested interests, it would seem. Wow, does this ever tip the scales in the direction of Armageddon? And be assured, too, that there's a lot more going on here than simply the appointment of the most dangerous hawk out there. So we have Eli standing by. Are you there, Eli?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. We are just delighted to welcome you to the KBOO airwaves. And of course, when we hear that John Bolton, I'm sure, has been floating around the White House. And when we did have, remember when we had minders, when we had Trump minders that were minding Trump? They're the only thing that separated us from John Bolton, it would appear. Sheldon Adelson also in there. He definitely upped the ante as far as Trump's presidency. Can you talk a little bit about how this threesome came to be? And we'll try not to talk about Stormy Daniels and threesomes in the same sentence.
Well, I think in the case of John Bolton, and you've hit on something here, it's important to note that certainly Donald Trump's chief of staff, John Kelly, and his now former or outgoing Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, had, by most accounts, exercised whatever influence they had to try to keep John Bolton out of the White House. Supposedly one of the effects of John Kelly's crackdown on access to Trump, which was notoriously a problem. Some descriptions of the Oval Office had it as being like a train station with people coming and going, was to keep John Bolton out and away from the president. And even earlier than that, even before John Kelly was on the scene, when the cabinet was first being put together, there was talk about making Rex Tillerson's deputy Secretary of State, John Bolton, to which supposedly Tillerson also balked, saying that wouldn't be somebody who he would want to have in that position, and certainly wouldn't trust to be his immediate subordinate. And on top of that, there was the fact that to be Deputy Secretary of State, that's a confirmable position. And there were serious questions about whether even with a Republican Senate who closely seems to back up this president at the most questionable times, that there were serious questions about whether he could actually get the votes to be confirmed, which would be an extremely embarrassing situation for this White House and for John Bolton. So all of that said, it took, I think, a great deal of force and an aligning of the stars, as it were, for John Bolton to find his way into this White House. And as I tried to track with Jim Loeb, we talked about the fact that it seemed as if the moments in which Bolton gained influence within this White House were when Sheldon Adelson, who is Trump's biggest financial supporter in his candidacy for president, when he exerted his influence. One of the examples we pointed to was when Trump gave his UN speech in either September or October. He added a line saying that he would cancel Washington's participation in the Iran nuclear deal if Congress and U.S. allies did not bend to his efforts to effectively unilaterally renegotiate it. Now, those remarks, it turns out, were not in the original text of the speech. They were added by Trump, presumably. And the reporting on that said that actually it was added to Trump's speech after John Bolton, who at that point was verboten from having access to Trump, reached President Trump by phone and from Las Vegas, where he was visiting with Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah.
So there's a pattern here of maybe if Bolton didn't, maybe Bolton might not have had direct access, but the fact that he was with Sheldon Adelson at that moment did give him access, and he quickly capitalized on that access. So I guess I would take some issue with your statement about his low intelligence. John Bolton is very smart at working the internal politics of both government as well as bureaucratic structures like the one that were put in place to try to keep people like him away from the president.
So what about some of John Bolton? He's definitely made a name for himself in as far as lighting off with statements that are so extreme that as to even raise Republican eyebrows. He is, if that is intentional, then it doesn't. Some of his remarks don't appear to have had the desired effects. Otherwise, I guess we'd all be living in smoking craters right now.
Well, that's true. I mean, as we were just discussing, there's been a concerted effort to try to keep him away from the levers of power. And if there's one even remote silver lining here, I think we should remember that the National Security Advisor actually has no direct authority over anyone or anything. Now, what it also means, of course, and this is troubling, is that he has direct access to Donald Trump and his ability to influence Trump, who certainly does have a great deal of authority, goes up dramatically just by being in the room. Now, I think you just pointed to something here, that he has a history of saying very explicitly what he wants to do. 2 years in 2015, 3 years ago, he wrote a Wall Street Journal op-ed in which he said that the inconvenient truth is that only military action, like Israel's 1981 attack on Saddam's Oso reactor in Iraq, or its 2007 destruction of a Syrian reactor, can accomplish what is required in Iran. In other words, it's time to bomb, and it's time to bomb now. The title of the op-ed was "To Stop Iran, Bomb Iran." In terms of North Korea, he said that the only diplomacy really that should be going on is issuing a warning to Kim Jong-un that he needs to denuclearize immediately or face the possibility of military action. So this is somebody who, in any given circumstance, and this goes all the way back to the Iraq War and probably before that as well, has only seen military force as the solution to any possible geostrategic challenge facing the United States.
And of course, this is exactly what AIPAC's dream cabinet for Trump. Trump seems to now have fired everybody who might serve as no man's land, or some kind of buffer between himself and really seriously irrational military actions. There used to be what was known as Trump's minders, and now Trump has jettisoned those voices and surrounded himself with nothing but really dangerous, warlike sycophants, which is a bad combination. Do you see, who would you see, or do you see anyone at all who might serve as a calm, rational voice around Trump?
I mean, at this point, one would look at sort of Secretary of Defense Mattis, as well as the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as potentially people who at least can shape the military options that are presented to Trump, to hopefully present them in such a way that he sees them all as being unattractive and unappealing options. But when that's the stage we're at, which is essentially we're hoping that the military options presented to him are so unpalatable that he won't act on them, we've gone pretty far down the road.
Really, we have now have
away from diplomacy.
We now have a guy whose nickname is Mad Dog as the only rational voice. Wonderful, just great.
At this point, our hopes rely on a man named Mad Dog.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better, is Trump now free? Does he owe? He doesn't owe really. Sheldon Adelson, he's cleared that debt, and possibly Robert Mercer, and there's a few other names, but Trump is very familiar with the concept of owing debts to various people.
Absolutely.
It's one area that he has some expertise. There's, I guess, Robert and Rebecca Mercer are still hovering out there. Probably a few more names. Now he's got many other problems to deal with. So he's kicked Russia out. I imagine that he's still close with Vladimir Putin. How can you give us a notion of how the whole balance of power, what effect this has on a geopolitical balance of power?
Well, I think really, I think something that's perhaps overlooked in terms of assessing the United States' balance of power, as it were, vis-a-vis Russia or China, is a lot of the United States' geopolitical power has been its ability to ally with countries both in Asia as well as in Europe. NATO is a great example of that. And frankly, the P5+1 nuclear negotiation with Iran was an excellent example of that, where the United States' ability to bring together a coalition of countries to negotiate and to address what wasn't just a regional but potentially a global strategic challenge of Iran's nuclear program and address it in such a way.
So in a nutshell, we're out of time, so just, yeah, that's yes, indeed.
I think whatever currency we had in that area is probably rapidly being depleted.
It would appear to be the case. Thank you so much. It's really been great talking with you. And I do commend listeners' attention to that piece. Trump's choice of a Bolton satisfies his biggest donor. And on that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, March 27th, 2018. And Judy Feistel engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Judy. Our AM News and Public Affairs Director is Derek Crooks. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
The Oregon Historical Society is featuring 50 years of KABOO.